Hello and welcome to NJ Biz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanige. My guest today, it will be familiar to many viewers. Her name is Debbie Hart. She is the founding CEO and president of BioNJ, which is an organization of lifestyle companies and stakeholders. Debbie, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Jeff. I am thrilled to represent our life sciences members at BioNJ and thrilled to talk to you today.
Oh, good. Glad to hear it. Thank you for taking the time to do this. I was just looking back at our last conversation in this format, and it was almost exactly 2 years ago. It was July of 2020, and we were in at that point, the summer lull of the first major scary wave of COVID. So I was curious as to how you've gotten through the past couple of years. Start with your organization, your staff. How are you able to manage? I've talked to a lot of executives in your position, and when you're in that kind of a role, when you have that kind of an organization, where you require or you had gotten used to face-to-face contact and building relationships, how are you able to keep things together? Was technology a help? Did you end up changing the way you do things for the better, for worse? What has it been like the past couple of years?
Yeah, well, I can't believe it's been 2 years since we chatted, Jeff. And, you know, and when you said that, I was a little startled and I thought, oh my goodness, you know, things have changed an awful lot since then. And I guess sitting where I sit, representing the life sciences industry in New Jersey, I mean, what they did during the pandemic, to really save the world, has just been astonishing. And right. As you can imagine, we're very, very proud of them and what they accomplished. And because of them, you know, life's gotten back to somewhat normal, right? It took almost 2 years, but back when we talked last, there was nothing other than perhaps the saliva tests from Rutgers at that point, right, that, to give us any hope that things would ever be normal again. Unfortunately, they are. So we went through a tumultuous time as everyone else did and sort of figuring it out as we went. We certainly use technology and we're still, you know, this is a remnant of that new era of the way we're using technology. And I think a lot of that is here to stay. And, but our team really stepped up, did an amazing job. We were able to deliver information, education to our members. We worked very collaboratively with state government, the federal government, to support, what they needed to adjust to the pandemic. And, we're here on the other side and we live to tell about it, thankfully. In fact, we were just talking and my husband and I had COVID about a month and a half ago. And as people asked me how I was feeling, I said, honestly, the first thing I'm feeling is grateful, grateful that it wasn't 2 years ago and that our industry did what our industry did to make us have basically a mild cold. So.
Right. Yes, exactly. My wife and I had the same experience about 2 months ago. And again, you're right. I mean, the idea that it would have been very, very scary 2 years ago had we gotten that. Although, frankly, I'll have to say it's still kind of worrisome. When you get a cold, you sort of know how that's going to go. But with COVID, even with vaccines and everything that we have, you really don't. So I'm curious, you say we're back to normal, you're back to normal, your organization. How normal is it? Is it different now? Or you have to take other kinds of precautions and what are you doing in general? Are you back in the office full time? Are people working remotely? How does it working with you? And events and for your members, are you doing in-person events, those kinds of things?
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, when I say normal, it's somewhat normal. It's not 100%. Right. We are actually back 3 days a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in the office. In fact, I'm sitting in the office now. Mm-hmm. It's great to see our team members again. You know, this is a team that really cares about each other and likes being together. So that's really been fun. And in terms of our members, we have just recently really started to bring them back into in-person events again. We've been able to manage that. Of course, we don't know what's around the corner in terms of what, surprises COVID might have in store. We're hopeful that technology and research will continue to deliver what it's delivered over the last 2 years and we'll be just fine. But it's one day at a time for sure. And, You know, we haven't had to hunker down and go home again since we came back about 3 or 4 months ago.
Okay.
Hope that we don't, but we will if we have to, certainly.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. So let's talk about your membership, about the industry. I've talked to a lot of folks, executives in your industry, and in others about what's going on, and the litany of challenges that they face is going to be familiar to you as it will be to our viewers. Supply chain issues, inflation, hiring. What are you hearing now from the folks in your industry? Are those the main concerns now, or are there others peculiar to or unique to what they do?
So, you know, on a positive note, you know, hiring in New Jersey is easier than in a lot of other places in this industry, because we do have just such a, you know, a diverse and expansive array of talent. So that's on the positive side.
Right.
You know, unrelated to the pandemic, but on the not so positive side, one of the biggest challenges right now is for the earlier stage companies raising money.
Okay.
So for a variety of reasons, but that's, you know, that's real. It's caused, you know, there's more interest now in M&A.
Okay.
And perhaps going public, that sort of thing. You know, and I've been at my job for a long time, and, you know, we've seen ebbs and flows over the years. So we like to say, you know, we've sort of seen this movie before. We've never quite seen this movie before.
Right.
This is a little more dramatic of a dry spell than, you know, than we remember, because there are so many factors playing into it.
Okay. Well, tell me a little bit more about that. You said that for a variety of reasons, raising capital has been difficult. What are some of the reasons? What are the main obstacles that you're seeing?
So I think it's, you know, it's sort of the culmination of a lot of things coming together. As you mentioned, the supply chain issue,
right.
You know, the capital markets are just, they're afraid right now. So that's having an impact. In this industry is, you know, it's innovation. It's perhaps less sure than some other industries. So investments are perhaps going the way of other industries in some cases. You know, the high cost to market, inflation, you know, the policy environment. The policy environment is definitely, you know, sort of turning heads and giving us, you know, giving us some concern, some real concern that this industry will not be able to innovate because they won't have the resources.
Mm-hmm.
They will not have the supportive policy environment that is just so critical to bringing therapies and cures to market and to the patients who need them.
Okay. Well, I want to ask you about that in a bit. First, just to stay on the one topic about capital and M&A, which you also mentioned. Again, I've spoken to a few several executives in business. One of the problems they have is valuation. It's very difficult, and I think you were alluding to that in some of what of your comments. Is that still the case? Are you still get the sense that's a problem, both in raising money for early stage companies and in for those who are ready to either go public or are looking for an acquisition or a partner? Is valuation continue to be a difficult issue?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're not sure how long that will go on. I mean, it's likely here to stay for the foreseeable future, probably through the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're hopeful that, you know, it'll take a turn at least in the new year, if not before, but it's a scary time right now.
Okay. And is it mainly just going to be getting certainty back into the equation where we know, okay, the pandemic is over, we're going to get back to what we were doing before, or is it what we're going to talk about next, really the business climate and regulatory issues and things like that? What would it take to get to that point, do you think?
It's all of the above. I mean, it has to be, you know, easing of all the things we just talked about. You know, things have to turn around. Again, going back to the policy environment, that, you know, that's critical that some of the proposals that are out there, you know, that they not happen at the state level and the federal level. You know, the markets just have to lighten up a little bit, you know, So a number of things have to change.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's talk about the policy environment. That was the next general area I was interested in, and that is the business climate, both nationally and here in New Jersey. You mentioned both. I'm curious, what are the major problems you see coming out of the state? First, let's start with New Jersey state government. What are you seeing coming out of Trenton or some of the agencies that are concerning?
Sure. So there are a couple of proposals that relate, you know, directly to pricing.
Okay.
And that will, again, impact innovation, the number of companies that are able to get out of the gate, the number of therapies that will make their way to patients. So
when you say pricing, you're talking about prescription prices, which is sort of an ongoing conversation both nationally and here in New Jersey. Is that, or are you talking about something? Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Fine,
I'm sorry.
Yes, it is. No, that's okay. You know, there is one proposal to create a prescription drug affordability board. And there are a couple of other proposals to, you know, that, again, would basically they equate to price controls.
Okay.
And so we're real concerned about them at the state level. And then at the federal level, the Build Back Better iteration, the latest iteration, seems as if it will be focused almost exclusively on drug pricing.
Okay.
And again, gives us, you know, great concern, and we'll see how that plays out in the coming weeks. And perhaps months.
All right. So, well, given that, I'm curious as to how you're viewing the debate and how it's proceeding. I mean, are you very concerned about what's going to happen, or do you think that that the industry is going to come through this okay? What's your assessment of where that's going?
It's more
on both levels, state and national.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, at both levels, it's, I've been at my job, it's literally almost 30 years, and we've never seen conversations happening like we're seeing them now. And so we're very concerned, again, that, some of these proposals will make their way through.
Okay.
And that in the end, again, they will squelch innovation. The funding that's going into the industry, companies will not be formed. They will not be funded. They will not bring their critical research to the patients who need it.
Okay. So let's talk specifically about New Jersey then. You mentioned what I hear you saying is describing sort of a mixed bag about doing business here. On the one hand, hiring is relatively, I won't say easy, but at least there's a talent pool that I'm guessing, given the state's the higher education, the way the state's education system is structured. But then you have these other kinds of regulatory issues. What is it like doing business in New Jersey now? It's famously known as the medicine chest of the world. Your industry is one of the most important industries for the state's economy. It would be terrible if something bad happened to it. What's your assessment of what it's like to do business in New Jersey now?
So, Jeff, I have to hearken back to our annual meeting that we had on June 9th. It was the first really big in-person event that we had in 2 years. And that evening, we celebrated innovation coming from companies with a footprint in New Jersey. And in fact, New Jersey companies were responsible for 70 new FDA drug approvals from 43 different companies in the previous 2 years. And that represented 40% of all new FDA drug approvals. So, there's something good happening in New Jersey.
Okay, good. Glad to hear that.
for sure. Music to our ears, for sure. New Jersey is still the medicine chest of the world based on, those statistics, that kind of data. And so overall, New Jersey is a really terrific place for this industry. And, again, talent is fairly easily accessible. There are plenty of companies here, if someone is coming here and looking for a position. The incentives and the things that are available to support especially the early stage innovative companies through the New Jersey Economic Development Authority, the New Jersey Commission on Science, Innovation, and Technology, on which I am proud to sit.
Right.
There are some really exciting opportunities there for very early stage and beyond companies. So in that regard, New Jersey is really ahead of the pack when you compare other states to the programs in other states compared to New Jersey's. We are really leading the way in a very dramatic way. On the other hand, you know, there are, you know, we have to call it as we see it. The tax environment is, you know, is difficult. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's that, I would say that's our biggest challenge in terms of the business climate.
Okay. And when you say the tax climate, that's corporate taxes. Is that what you're talking about?
The cost of doing business in New Jersey, okay. Corporate taxes, et cetera. Yeah.
All right. Cause I was curious about what it was like to get people when we were talking about hiring, to get people to come here, stay here. It's not a cheap place to live either. On the other hand, I'm guessing that your industry probably pays a little more than a lot of others. How does that cut in terms of attracting and keeping skilled, educated people to the industry?
So again, you know, talent is relatively easy to find. I will say that, you know, because of, you know, what I just mentioned about the tax climate,
right,
that in some cases they live across the river. So they're not, you know, domiciled here in New Jersey. And of course, you know, that's an important element to what generates revenue for the state of New Jersey.
Right.
And so that's something that I think really needs some studying and some change.
All right. And how about looking into the future? Use your crystal ball, by all means, if you need to. There's a lot of talk. I've talked to, we've done programs at NJBiz about STEM education and the importance and what the state needs to do to try and encourage more students to get into to science, technology, engineering, and math. Are you satisfied with those efforts? And should the state be doing more? Should localities be doing more? Does business need to do more?
So, you know, as we say at BioNJ, we can always do more, we can always do better, right?
Okay.
It's a constant challenge, and we should be challenging ourselves. Everyone should be challenging themselves. You know, so again, New Jersey is a leader on that front. You know, there are 2,000 life science degrees coming out of Rutgers every year. We have more scientists and engineers per square mile than anywhere in the US, anywhere in the world, actually. And we have, you know, academic institutions that are leading the way. Our state has the number two highest concentration of STEM awards.
Right.
And, you know, and then there are initiatives such as something, the New Jersey Pathways to Careers Initiative, led by the New Jersey Business and Industry Association, and also the New Jersey Community Colleges.
Right.
And they're joining together with employers, industry associations, labor unions, education institutions, workforce development partners, you know, providing students and workers with career pathways that they need to find new careers and opportunity. So, you know, that's sort of that's a different twist on professional development and, you know, and STEM related, developing STEM related careers. And so I think that, you know, again, there's always more, you can always do more, you can always do better, but I think that's a unique program that will make a difference in the long run.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear too. Finally, before I let you go, I'm curious in general, taking all of that, everything we've talked about, what's your assessment of the outlook over the next, for the rest of the year and into 2023 for the industry? Where is growth going to come from? Anything that you can tell us about what you're hearing and what you expect, what you're anticipating over the next, say, 6 to 12 to 18 months?
Sure. I mean, so I'm always bullish on New Jersey and always bullish on life sciences in New Jersey. So that hasn't changed. I do expect some really rough seas in the near term, especially for, you know, the earlier stage companies. And that just means that the whole ecosystem will be in a bit of a churn. You know, when you look at, you asked the question about what's new, what's exciting. When you look at cell and gene therapy in particular as one, you know, one area of economic economic development in New Jersey. It's grown dramatically over the last 10 years, and we expect that more and more it will grow. If you just look back at, you know, some of the press releases over the last year and some of the companies that have come here, locating here, expanding here in that category, it's pretty dramatic and exciting. So I think that's definitely a highlight. Also, you know, what's happening in oncology specifically, it is just, cancer will be cured for all intents and purposes in the coming years. And, you know, one by one, little by little, the incremental changes and developments that are happening are making a difference for cancer patients worldwide. And that will just continue in an iterative fashion till ultimately, cancer will not be an issue in the future.
Okay. Well, that's good news and a good place to leave it, Debbie Hart. I hope you'll come back in less than 2 years so we can talk about some of these issues and see how your predictions work out. Thank you very much for joining me. I really appreciate you taking the time.
My pleasure, Jeff. And I would love to come back and, you know, let's do it in person next time, perhaps.
Okay. That's a good idea. We'll try that. Thanks very much.
Right. Debbie
Hart, CEO of BioNJ. Thanks again. And thank you all for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.